Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Now, Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
We're sports show radio hosts.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
That's been some road trip for the Red Sox. Alex Cora said 7-2 would be a great trip. One strike away from that. He gets him. That's the ball game. The Red Sox indeed win 6 in a row. And finish off Kansas City. Another sweep as the Red Sox come home with a full head of steam.
The Boston Red Sox are kicking ass, people. Doing a hell of a job. Thank God they are, because I couldn't imagine being a baseball fan in Kansas City. Do you imagine being that right now?
Or Baltimore.
How much that sucks? Or if you're in Baltimore?
Yay, I'm in Baltimore. It's next to Delaware.
How awful is that? I feel bad for those people. I feel bad for the people of Baltimore or Kansas City. Or any of these other crap bag towns.
Your summer sport's gone.
I root for the White Sox. They have 30 wins. Gross. Like, that sucks.
Yay.
Pittsburgh or Cincinnati.
Pittsburgh's got a cool ballpark, though.
Yeah, but again, their team is not very good.
Right.
I mean, the Padres have sucked forever. I just look around and think there's so many
Camden Yards
bad
teams. I mean, yeah, you're right.
The Royals and Orioles are really the worst among them. They're just so bad. So bad. And the Orioles, I feel bad. I do sort of feel bad for the Orioles fans because they got a taste, like, within the last 5 years. They got a little taste.
A little gritty manager, you know? Doesn't like the Boston. He's going to do anything he can to manage against them.
Gritty manager screwed it up for them.
Duquette's bringing some decent people in, and it just went to hell.
That's gone to such crap. It's imploded there. Stinks. And then you've got the Red Sox, who have 62 wins. They have more wins than anyone else in baseball. The Astros have 61 wins. Yankees are two games back of the Red Sox right now at 58-29.
Is Shaughnessy with us tomorrow? Yeah, he is, right?
Correct. He is. And Shaughnessy
hell
wrote
of an article.
A really great story today. And Shaughnessy, as you know, is a big baseball fan. That is his, thing.
Yeah, I was texting him last night. He's crushed. Crushed. Because I can't defend it anymore.
And so here, we can absolutely watch baseball right now and enjoy it. You can. You have that ability. You have the luxury right now to kick back, watch a Red Sox game, and generally speaking, enjoy what you're seeing.
You're not biting your nails. You can sit
back
and relax.
Team's good. Yeah. They've got a lot of good players. They've got a great pitcher in Chris Sale. They've got an awesome guy they added to their lineup in J.D. Martinez. Yep. A lot of things to like about your team.
Sure.
The rest of the league? What motivates you to continue watching if you're in some of these other markets? And not just the worst of the worst, like the Orioles. But if, you're a Blue Jays fan or a Detroit Tigers fan or even a Twins fan.
I don't know.
Fan,
maybe,
what are you watching for
maybe,
anymore?
Maybe you continue to watch and maybe you're that set in your ways and maybe that's why it's just really clinging on to an older fan base.
The Angels, the Rangers.
Like old people. Jim told a story. Jim had people over his house down in Rhode Island, Jim, and you said you had two individuals inside your house over the age of what, 63?
There were like 10 people out in the pool.
Yeah.
And I walked inside.
Nice weather, nice day. Jim goes inside.
My father-in-law and my wife's uncle. We're both inside watching Red Sox.
Two old guys, but they're not going to change their ways because that's what they do.
One's not even a Red Sox fan. One's a Yankees fan. He's just watching baseball.
I think to what Beatles talking about here, say you're a young person in one of those markets. Like, what are you going to stick around for that? No, you're going to find something else to do in your life. Old people won't change. Old people will continue to digest and watch the product because they're set in their ways. They eat supper at 5:30. Then I'm going to sit there and watch a Red Sox game. And then once it's in hand, I'm going to go to bed. I'm going to wake up and watch evening news. That's what you do. Then you're going to watch 2020 on Sunday nights?
I don't think just old people are watching the Red Sox. Though. The Red Sox are getting everyone, I think.
Yeah, right, because they're good. And they're easy to watch. They're easy to like.
I'm saying that about young people in other markets. Not this market. Other markets.
Oh, yeah, it's a problem.
Yeah.
And he's, as Dan says, there is a problem with the Red Sox, though, too. And that is they have two fall collapses the last 2 years. Playoffs have been really bad for them the last two seasons, which is why people are having a hard time sort of buying in strong on this one. That's a small part of it. But Dan writes about MLB attendance taking a hit. He also talks about the fact that the conversation, though, locally, even though the team is good and people are watching, he says flip into sports talk radio, and it's about Edelman, Tom Brady, NBA free agency.
Oh.
It's because the Red Sox don't generate much discussion anymore.
Oh, post All-Star break, Red Sox are going to continue to rake, and we talk about this easy schedule they have coming up. Guess what starts in 2.5 weeks, boys? Guess what we'll be talking about when it's for real? Brady throwing Edelman. What's Brady doing with Belichick? What's Belichick doing with Brady?
So you would think that at this point, baseball looks at it and says, we got a problem here. We got a problem with our attendance. We probably have an issue with ratings. USA Today had their poll, 63 big league players. They took a poll of them.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan writes, the results demonstrated a stunning lack of awareness. Players evidently do not believe that today's strikeout glut or the snail-like pace of play present any problem. Any problem! More than half of the players polled said they are unconcerned about a game that now primarily features walks, strikeouts, and homers.
I don't have a problem with this. And I totally agree with the players on this. When you're in it and you're playing it and you're brought up a certain way to play the game and you got guaranteed money and this is the way we've played the game forever, why would you have a problem with it? Why would you have any awareness that people are having issues with it?
Because pace of play. 93% of those who responded believe that the lack of action is okay.
Until you really care to change that pace of play and put a pitch clock in and increase things, increase balls in play.
Asked if pace of play changes are working, one player wrote down on his survey, assumes there was a problem in the first place. How about that?
Yeah.
Doesn't even believe there's a problem. Dan writes, there's simply not enough competitive games, especially the 2018 American League. The Orioles on pace to lose 118. The Royals on pace to lose 116 games. The White Sox, 108 losses.
Remember when Beckett talked about the potential of playing for a 100-win team, and that's exciting, and he had all this excitement going into that one year, one of his last years here. I forget which year it was. It may have been a pre-World Series year, and there was a lot of buzz.
2011, best team ever.
2011, best team ever, right. But there was buzz, like, you wanted tickets. You wanted to go to games. As good as this team is in the pace, what are they? How many games over 500? Are the Red Sox 30 what? 39?
They're on pace to be the seventh team ever to win 110-plus games.
And you could easily find tickets, and it's attainable. Like I said, I know people giving tickets away to games, to crap opponents. That's the problem.
Chris Gasper.
They ain't giving tickets away to Yankee games.
Chris Gasper had a column last week that said what the Red Sox don't have is the buy-in of their fan base, an organization that inspired a movie about the unwavering faith of its fan, entitled Still We Believe, the Boston Red Sox movie. Now can't get everyone on board to believe in a team that has baseball's best record and is on pace to win 100 games, which was last accomplished by a Red Sox team during the Truman administration. The 2018 team can't be fully appreciated or endorsed due to postseason flameouts the last two falls. And it's so true. He says the only way to change people's minds is to prove it in the playoffs. And unfortunately, that's not possible until October. And that is a part of the story on this team, too. That, oh, that's good. No, we'll watch. We'll keep an eye. You know, they'll still be interesting to watch. J.D. Martinez helps, and Chris Sale helps, and Mookie Betts. I mean, you got two guys, Betts and Martinez, who could both make a case to be in the MVP running, okay?
Right.
Especially Betts. And it's like, yeah, well, yeah, see you in October. Are you going to do something with it this year, or are you just going to go in and flame out again?
We're Raptors fans.
Is it great? Like, what? Yeah.
Texans fans.
Hey, tell me if you're going to do anything when it matters there. It's a problem for Boston. It's a problem for Red Sox fans. It is. It's been that sort of attitude has been built on a lot of winning and a lot of success and having seen it. And the chase is over. The chase. The Red Sox are just chasing their next one now. That's all it is. The next one. Is it going to flame out again? You're going to do something with it.
Yeah.
So even the Red Sox, being the team they are with their five All-Stars, even they have a problem on this front.
And
I think this market is still sort of engaged on it.
And as good as they were in Game 2 versus the Yankees, you didn't come out of New York winning that series. And the most important part of that series is the guy that you think potentially everything could hinge on, your $31 million pitcher, got absolutely shelled in the rubber game. Got killed. What's that do for the mindset of the team moving forward, if that's the team you ultimately got to face?
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Say they make some moves.
And the Red Sox, 617-779-0985. More of that is coming up on Zolak and Bertrand. Next. So much winning, whoop-de-doo.
We're going to win so much, you may even get tired of winning.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What, is there a problem?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think Zoe's right about this. The big problem for David Price is that no matter how well he pitches, he's had a good year, even with these last two clunkers. And Kansas City wasn't that bad. Just looked bad with the hit batters.
Yeah, but for that guy, it's different than everybody else on the staff.
I know that. It's the big game. It's that when you get to October, you expect what you got in New York.
Yeah.
That's what you expect. You expect it to look like that Yankees start.
God forbid.
Which is why you look at this team and say, yeah, no, they're good. Good, fun team. Yeah, no, I don't really trust them when they get to October.
I mean, we'll watch it closely once this thing winds down. But, I mean, could you imagine that last series, if it comes down to that, and that guy's the swing guy, or say you got to play the playing game and you got to hand the ball to David Price, and that's how it – can you alter your rotation enough to have enough foresight? And maybe there might be a gap to where, you know what, we might have to play the playing game. We don't want him to pitch that. Or do you? Is that less pressure? I don't know.
You may not have an option.
What's more pressure for David Price, pitching the play-in game or starting one of the final three at Yankee Stadium?
One of the final three in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah. Are you eating, Jim?
How's your oats without water? Are they good?
That's definitely a yes.
Yeah.
You didn't respond.
How's those almonds?
Yes.
The non-salted almonds that just form to the top of your mouth that you're trying
just
to
finish eating.
Lick almonds? With your tongue.
You're like that guy in the Snickers commercial who wants to jump out of his car.
Almonds.
Almonds.
Yeah, you make me want to jump out of the car.
Great commercial.
What are you talking about?
Really is. You haven't seen that commercial?
Oh, it's
great.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's like Tengway used to say almonds.
The guy keeps
almonds.
Saying almonds.
It is almonds.
And the guy just finally goes, almonds. It's almonds. And he throws himself out of the moving car.
Oh. You don't say it's not almonds? Almonds.
It's not almonds.
Almonds.
There's an L in there.
Almonds.
There
almonds.
Nate's
I'm not
the,
doing this again.
Nate's
I'm not
in the
doing
car.
It.
Nate.
It's almonds, guys.
Thank you.
Not almonds.
Almonds.
Great commercial, by the way. So, yeah, so about, I just wanted to mention the issue, my issue, one of my, you know, sort of internal intuitive issues with this Red Sox team. And I'm a partial season ticket holder, so, like, I love the game. I love the experience. I'll buy in on a lot of things about even an unsuccessful team. My issue with this team is I think it's mainly around David Price and the fact that he's the most high-paid guy on the team. He's never fit in here. It doesn't look like he ever will really fit in here. He is a tool bag. He says foolish things.
I love you.
He says really toolish things. And honestly, he thinks he's being cute. He thinks he's being funny. He thinks he's being playful or sarcastic. He's being disrespectful of the fan base. That's the way I take it. And it's like, you know what, man? You don't have to be
a dick.
Super, you know,
yeah.
Soldier type, well-mannered to be good here. You can be an a-hole to be good here, and we'll accept you if you're an a-hole, but you got to be good. Pedro was kind of an a-hole, but he was amazing. Even Hanley.
Beckett.
I mean,
Beckett.
Even Hanley did not annoy me the way Price does.
You know, I think there's been a shift, though. Nate, thanks for the call.
What's that shift for?
There's been a shift in the hate for David Price that I think the amount of hate that the fan base has for this guy has surpassed what either you or I have for him.
Yeah.
I do. I do believe that.
When I started at the beginning of the year rooting against him, and I would get a lot of kickback on Twitter. You're an a-hole. Leave Boston, blah, blah, blah. I get nothing but like 95%. I totally agree with you. We're past
just
the
vitriol.
Just get rid of him. Get rid of
him. Comes from the fan base for this guy now is. I really do believe that it's surpassed anything anybody's in the media said about him.
See, I don't even see the beat defending him. Like, he would normally, like Drellick had the, you know, David Price is good for Boston, maybe good for Boston, but this is during when he was pitching well. You can't write that now. And you got a flip on it. Peter Abraham's not defending him. Cafardo, you name
just
it.
Just when anytime someone's talking about baseball, just in your everyday life, I've heard it so many times. Man, do I
this team so much effing
this team is so good,
hate this
but.
Guy.
And you're like, wow.
So good, but there's David Price.
Like, pure hatred for the guy. And you know what I think it comes from? What that caller just brought up, what Nate just described. Can't stand to listen to him.
Yeah. He brought it out, man. He did it. He did it 2 weeks ago. He brought out the magnifying glass. He's cruising. He's feeling good. And I got to go and be a dick. You know what? Let's go.
Which is fine if you go out and pitch well in New York.
Put up and put up
or shut
up. You
can keep doing that right now. You can't do that.
Right.
Can't do it.
So.
Can't do it.
He skipped a Yankee start. He got knocked out because of tingly hands. And then he got shelled. Last Sunday night, right? That's how the three big starts against the Yankees went for him. In a really, really good year, team on pace to win 110 games or more.
Yeah, he's had a good year.
Your nemesis. You're 0-3, bro.
He's had a good year.
Yeah.
Yes, he has had a good year.
0-4.
I won't deny him that.
Nah, not really. Because that's what he's going to be judged on. He's not going to be judged on getting you there. Who's had a good year? E-Rod.
No, I'm not saying he's had a good year for your expectation of him being an ace and a guy who carries you, but he's had a good year for by any metric.
That game could have been so big for him because going into that game, he's 9-5. Going into that Yankee game that night, he wins in Yankee Stadium in a rubber match, that swing game right there, the series where you take the series. You win that, you go up another game on the Yankees because it's head-to-head. That gets you to 10 games, 10 wins, 5 losses. Instead, now you drop the 9-6. And then the Orioles kick your ass. I know you win the game, but you hit 3 batters in 1 inning. Like, you've lost your mind in 1 week. He's back.
Yeah, 1 week he added close to a full run to his ERA. Man, he sucked. His ERA was 3.66. And the team was 11-5 in his starts. He had started 16 games prior to his last two. He's now at 18.
Just go back to the Gasper column, though. If he pitches well in the playoffs, nobody will care.
It's true.
And you have to wait. You can't determine anything until you get there.
That's part of the problem with this season. That's what we're waiting for. Because you know they're going to get there.
Actually, with Price, you can advance it 3 days. You can go that final Yankee series. You can start Price's season there with that final series. If he rebounds that series.
Do you pitch him there?
I won't pitch him, but if he does and pitches well, then that's the start of the rebound.
But you know what I'm saying? Say you have
not if he then goes into the playoffs and sucks again.
Yeah.
But say, that'll get quickly.
No, but it'll earn him something. That's essentially would be a playoff game.
I can't stop watching final this ball boy now, Jim. I wish you never showed us this ball boy in Wimbledon.
Apparently, it's been doing it forever. It's
running
the first
back and
time
forth
I've
like
noticed
a nut. This kid's getting a workout. Like a little spider monkey. Run back and forth. I'm amped up on Mountain Dew.
See, Jim showed it to me, and I thought that's what they always did.
Now I'm like, I'm mesmerized by it. Good stuff, Jim. My day returning.
Sorry, Beetle.
I didn't need that. But thank you. Here he goes again. Watch this, Beetle.
Great. Now Beetle's mad at everybody.
Look at him sprint.
No, Beetle and Hardy, they've been watching it all along. That's the first time
I've
noticed it.
I don't watch tennis.
That's what they do. Like every big tennis match.
Really?
Yes. The ball boys.
That's so cool. That must be hard to get that gig. Like, you got to know somebody. Watch this.
Have you ever watched tennis before?
That's what they do.
Yeah, but
they're a little more proper at Wimbledon, it seems like.
Yeah, because Wimbledon's a little bit more
watched,
proper.
I've been watching Wimbledon for 25 years.
Pumping his arms, gets his head down like he's going faster. Like, putting your head down is going to make you go faster. Like David Ortiz rounding second. Yeah, David.
Well,
tuck your head.
Yes, when you're first starting your sprint, you keep the head down and then you come up out of your crouch. There's an evolution to the sprint. It's a very short sprint, so the head stays down for most of it.
Can I change the channel? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to change the channel.
Good.
You can change. No, you can change the.
No,
you can change the subject, but you can't change the channel.
Watch him.
You can change the subject of conversation, but no, you may not change.
But he's not going to stop. He's going to keep watching.
I'm not going to talk about it again. I'm going to watch monitor.
Do you need it for scores? Are you using it for headlines?
Yeah, use it for scores.
Are you updating people on Wimbledon?
Is there people that really need Wimbledon results right now?
Kind of.
Listen to that.
Okay. I think we should change the TV.
There you go,
again. Else. See, because this is it's never going to end now. It's never going to end.
Look at the process.
That's amazing. Okay. Hardy has our headlines. When we come back, we've got another thing that Zoe needs to give us his take on from when he was gone. Edelman's suspension upheld. God. That's next.
How's those almonds? The non-salted almonds.
You like almonds?
I like almonds.
You don't say it's not almonds?
Yeah, everybody loves almonds.
Almonds.
Sports Hub headlines.
Alex Cora is a happy manager after the 7-4 win over the Royals in Kansas City yesterday, completing the sweep and happy with both Andrew Benintendi and Xander Bogaerts.
Yeah, everything. We talk about it the other day, and you guys know I always look at the walks. And when guys are struggling, and all of a sudden you look and there's no walks and 50 at-bats or whatever, he was expanding a little bit, and he put some good at-bats a few nights ago. He started walking, just like Bogey. Bogey, I think he got like 7 or 8 walks during this road trip, so that's a good sign. That means that they're starting to see the ball well again.
As I said, they swept the Royals in Kansas City. Now the Red Sox are home for the start of a 7-game homestand that begins tonight. When they take on the Rangers, Eduardo Rodriguez gets the start. 5 Red Sox head to the All-Star festivities, including the first time for Mitch Moreland. He'll join Chris Sale, J.D. Martinez, Mookie Betts, and Craig Kimbrell. Roger Federer advancing to his 16th Wimbledon quarterfinal. That extends the record that he already set. Serena Williams also advancing in straight sets. Headlines are brought to you by AdCare Hospital. If you or a loved one is struggling with alcohol or drug use, help is just around the corner. Call AdCare at 1-800-ALCOHOL. I'm Hardy. I'm Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Hot takes.
I am Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Wrong song. Oh.
Zoe and Beetle. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zoe's take.
Okay, another item for Zoe from his time off. That is the Julian Edelman suspension being upheld by an independent, jointly appointed arbitrator. Your thoughts and reaction to that, Zoe?
Well, I really didn't. I thought he was going to get suspended, meaning that they weren't going to uphold it. That, you know, they may have had him on a technicality. I was interested because of the type of representation that he hired. That, boy, he may have them on some sort of a snag here, where there was mishandling of paperwork, and there might be an actuality that he might get off. And then I wasn't floored by it. You know, when the Brady decision came down, you're upset, you're pissed, you're angry. And I think Brady going through it has helped us watch other Patriot players get suspended here and, you know, deal with it. I think it's going to help the player when he comes back. I think it's going to make the team be, you know, I talked about this a couple buddies too over break. You know, they were forced to be different for 4 games without Tom Brady. Jimmy Garoppolo benefited from that. The ability to run the football a little bit. Same thing with Jacoby Brissett. And figure out a little bit of a running game, which helped them run the ball late in the season when they needed it. And I know it was LeGarrette Blount. Not a lot of people are big LeGarrette Blount guys. But it forced you to have a different mentality for the first part of the season. And then Tom Brady came back, and they went on a run. You know, fresh as lettuce, as Brady said. I think Edelman's going to benefit from that because of the mentality of the player. He's balls to the walls. He's 100%. He's going to give you everything. He's going to sacrifice his body. This will help him to take 4 games off coming off a pretty devastating knee injury. You rip your ACL, that's devastating. Tough to come back from, but you come back stronger and better than ever. But it takes a lot of work to get there. And I know Edelman looks great and he's ready to go. He's still going to be able to practice with the team. He's not going to miss a snap of preseason. But Josh has got to be careful. He's got to be able to get somebody ready to go. And I think they're going to be a different team for 4 weeks. That's obvious. Because there's really nobody that's going to do what Edelman does. You could get creative. I'm excited about this because I think you could put 2 backs on the field at the same time. Whoever the hell back the back the premier back is going to be, meaning first down back. And I do think James White's got the edge here. But White's going to be the guy you're going to be able to flex out and use a receiver, as a receiver, a slot receiver. So James White and, say, Sony Michel, or maybe it's Jeremy Hill. I don't know. I don't know who that back will be. But the combination of having two backs in the game at the same time with Gronkowski healthy, and that's the big key here. Gronkowski's ready to go. That's a big
Burkhead.
One. Same with Burkhead. You can put three back. Jim, that's a great point. You can have three backs on the field at the same time. What's your personnel group?
Right.
What are you going to do? I tell you what, you're sending dime or nickel? Guess what the 40-year-old quarterback's going to do? He's going to run the freaking ball. He's got you now mentally. Like, I know everything. He knows the front. He knows the hole. He knows the blocking scheme. You could play games with defenses for four games because of personnel groupings that you're forced to use without having Edelman. It's going to make Josh be better.
Cam is in Taunton on Julian Edelman. Hey, Cam.
Hey, guys. I hate to break this to you. They're starting off 0-3 because I look at it like this.
They could.
Your top two receivers the first 2 weeks are going to be Chris Hogan and Philip Dorsett. And I'm sorry. Just like I look at this now.
You don't think Matthews could surpass Dorsett as being a better option?
That is possible. I will grant you that.
I just want to say a couple of camp practices.
I hope he's a more reliable receiving option. Yeah. Granted, not the same position, but still.
Right. But I look at it like this. Houston is a terrible matchup for them. If Bill O'Brien knows how to call a timeout, and if Brock Osweiler doesn't play the worst game ever played by a quarterback in the playoffs 2 years ago, you lose the last two times you played them. Jacksonville's got the best defense in the league, and they were up 10 on you in the AFC title game, and a guy that helped bail you out, Danny Amendola. God forbid you pay that guy to help get you, win you that game. And then it's your former defensive coordinator and a team that plays very well at home. I think they're starting 0-3, and I think they're going 10-6.
Okay, Cam and Taunton with his early prediction on the Patriots season. I'm telling you, that first month is no joke. It's a hard month.
Yeah.
Not a soft landing.
Look at the schedule
when you don't have Julian Edelman, which means I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, it's a good thing they don't have Julian Edelman. No, they already went 1 year without Julian Edelman.
What we count, 9?
Okay.
Including the preseason, 9 primetime games in the first 13 weeks? Including preseason. That's a grind. That's a grind. It's a tough part of schedule.
You know what you can do with Julian Edelman if he needs the rest and he needed that rest? You could put him on a pitch count like you've done with other guys.
Yeah.
Like you've done with Danny Amendola. So don't make the case, like I know some people are doing, that it's better to not have Julian Edelman for the first month. Like Mark in Medford, you think it's better?
Well, I think I know he could practice, you know, during the suspension and the cultural training camp and everything.
Yeah.
But would it be a wise thing to do is maybe not play him in the preseason and risk hurting that knee again? I mean, after all, that's when he hurt it and missed the whole season.
No, I think he's got to do something in the preseason.
He's
got to
get reps.
Mark, your phone stinks.
Brady got reps like that. Brady played a lot in the preseason when he got suspended. You've got to play.
Because what, he's going to have not played a full season last year, miss the first month, and then come back and play in a full-speed game?
What is he, 23?
You can't do that.
No, he's older again. They're going to question, does he still have it? He's still got that step. What's Bill say about guys that hit 31, 32? That's where you start to go downhill a little bit, except the quarterback. Everybody else, he'll roll out of town. Better to be smarter 2 years ahead of it, right? Running backs, receivers, Walker, name it. All of them. They'll get rid of you before you hit that 33 mark. Quarterback's the only one that's outlived that. Because he's played well. He stayed on the field. I'm with you, though. I mean, you're not a better team without Edelman.
No! Don't do that.
You can be creative.
Don't twist yourself.
You can be creative.
Because you just can't handle the news that he is going to have to serve a 4-game suspension. Don't do that.
What's Josh McDaniels
Let's
doing?
Not be silly about it.
What's Josh McDaniels been?
Silly when it was said about Brady. Oh, it's actually better than under Brady for the first month. Like,
and yeah, I that Mike Lynch
and some of that was
out.
From
Remember
the
that?
Team, and I'm like,
team was
come on.
Yeah. They're excited about Jimmy
Don't
Garoppolo.
Don't do that.
A peek at him.
Don't give me that garbage that you're somehow better without the player because he's going to get some rest. Well, no, that is a nice side benefit. If you're looking for a silver lining or a positive thing to take away,
I wasn't
because
here.
You just can't handle any negativity, I guess you're right, but don't tell me you're better without him.
I wasn't here
He's
last
silly.
Week. What was your reaction when the Edelman news came down?
My reaction was...
did you think he had a chance?
I think, I like I said, my setup with you going back a couple weeks was, if they're telling the truth, they have a shot.
Yeah.
But I don't believe they are telling the truth, and I don't believe they have told the truth at all. I believe that he and his reps have done a fabulous job on the PR front. As it relates to the suspense, they killed it. They absolutely crushed it. I would hire those guys if I needed some PR help. If you needed PR help, those are guys to go hire. because they muddied those waters.
Fans
and they put doubt in everybody's head.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, you've got a portion of people now that believe it was a completely unknown substance, and they have no idea what it was, and Edelman is being, you know, singled out by the league, and they're screwing the Patriots again, and that there's also the twisting of, oh, they mishandled his sample, you know, the urine. No, they didn't.
Nope.
No, they didn't. In
Master
fact, he never even made that claim. He said the documents, the paperwork was mishandled, not the actual sample that was tested. The documentation, paperwork after the fact is what his claim was, which we have no way of knowing if it's true. In fact, he went in and did the appeal, and his people never made the case that it was an unknown substance.
Nope, nope, nope.
Because that's
right there. They already know. Okay, we got it in you. They got you on something. Let's go another avenue. Let's find something else. Let's find another something else to get them on because
it's
they
covered.
Got you on that. Right.
It's covered in the... There's two lists. There's the masking agent list and the list of prohibited anabolic agents, sections 1 and 2 in the policy. And at the bottom of those lists, it says, and other substances with a similar chemical structure and similar biological effects, which is why the substance triggered a positive test. It's not like the test says, oh, there's something we don't know about in this thing. What's this? No, it has to be similar to anabolic stuff that they already know about.
You say the word anabolic, gets you excited.
A similar biological marker is what it creates.
Yeah.
And then they then take the 71 agents already on the list, some of which are combinations of two items already on the list, and they say, oh, we get a new combination of anabolics. What did you mix together here? Let's figure it out. Because it triggered a positive test, so we know it's illegal.
Yeah.
We know that what you did was illegal. So the scientists go to work and the toxicologists figure it out. It's not that hard to understand. But Edelman's people are telling you, oh, they mishandled the results. They use that word. They use the word results, which was sneaky. They didn't say paperwork. They said results. That had people thinking, oh, they messed with the sample. It's like Richard Sherman all over again.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. He wasn't singled out. Let me read you one line from a story that we're going to talk about next.
Ooh.
It says, it's a quote from one AFC personnel executive talking about Rob Gronkowski. Where's the restructure of his contract? Until that's done, I think he's still available. I wouldn't be surprised if Belichick is going to test Gronk's buy-in with that contract. New story from Greg Bedard in the Boston Sports Journal about the availability currently of Rob Gronkowski. We'll hit that next.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I love playing the game of football, and the game of football is fun when you're feeling good. And if you're not feeling good, I mean, myself, I've asked many other players, you really don't like the game of football. But if you're feeling good, your body feels good, your mind feels good, the joy of playing the game of football is off the charts. But at the same time, if you're not feeling good, it could be awful. So I just making sure I just want to be feeling good, keep my mind clear, and keep on playing the game and enjoy it.
That was just a little more than a month ago. Rob Gronkowski, Patriots minicamp. New story, BostonSportsJournal.com. Greg Bedard says other teams haven't given up hope that Rob Gronkowski becomes available. Read you the quote already. Where's the restructure of his contract, said one AFC personnel executive. Until that's done, I think he's still available. I wouldn't be surprised if Belichick is going to test Gronk's buy-in with that contract. Greg Bedard, back in March, surveyed the scene on a possible Gronk trade market. And he went back and revisited the topic with the same people he talked to in March. Three of the five personnel executives that Greg Bedard spoke to feel that Belichick is just testing Gronkowski's mettle, and the tight end will eventually have his contract tweaked, and he'll finish the year with the Patriots. Two other executives say they think the Patriots make Gronk play under the current deal, and that Gronkowski put himself in this situation with talk about retirement, and then his decision to stay away from voluntary workouts. One quote from an exec, I wouldn't be surprised if Belichick gave in on that. However, the longer the contract issues linger, the possibility increases that Gronkowski could become unhappy and trigger a reaction from Belichick.
Yeah, and it's the antics. Yeah, you know, talking to a couple players, it was a different Rob Gronkowski in minicamp, where he's competitive. There's a difference between being competitive and then taunting and thrown in the face of your teammates. You know, he's sort of uncoverable, right? So, I mean, you kind of go back and forth. That's what you do when you practice. I'm going to give you one, you give me one. You know, we're going to give you a look, you give us a look. It's almost like he was just like, it was a man amongst boys at minicamp.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew it and he felt it, and he let everybody feel it. The point where a couple guys raised their eyebrows like, wow, you really going to throw the ball in the stands again? You really want to talk smack at a practice? Because we can knock your head off next hit.
Tom Curran reported that Rob Gronkowski considered retirement at training camp last year. Gronkowski admitted retirement was definitely on his mind at minicamp when he spoke what you just heard. And now he wants his contract redone. What if he once again feels the same way during training camp?
See, but in training camp, too, he was doing that stuff and Belichick broke his balls over it.
Like, right, but I'm saying
he allowed him to do it at minicamp.
We knew a year ago that he was thinking about retirement. What's to say he doesn't do it again? And he goes into camp and he starts thinking about it again.
I don't think he will because I think they had that discussion. There's something that was said and there's something that was agreed upon in that meeting between he, Drew Rosenhaus, and Bill Belichick. And it was 3 days after the motocross incident. Vroom, vroom, I'm going to work on vroom, vroom. Now Rob's back all of a sudden. Rob's happy.
Another year later and no new contract.
Well, I mean,
if it's not done.
I do think there's some sort of deal that's being worked out. I do.
I still feel that way too. But
I think they're taking care of him and then they're taking care of Brady.
We've been wrong before.
Yeah, we have. And Belichick's pulled off some of the biggest trades at the end of training camps.
Well, listen to this.
Logan Mankins, Deion Branch, go through it. Richard Seymour. He'll do it. He'll pull that trigger.
Rehash for Greg Bedard, but he reported back in March that a Bill Belichick-friendly source said at the time that once Bill starts thinking about life without a player, he starts, you know, warming up to being without the player. Quote, he imagines you gone. The longer Gronkowski goes without saying he's all in, the chances of him being traded increases, the source said. Greg points out the third week of August is a rough deadline for Gronkowski's contract to get done. And so, isn't that the time of year when we brought this up going back, I don't know, a month or so? Isn't that the time of year when guys get moved? In fact, Greg Bedard points that out. Logan Mankins, August 27th. Deion Branch, September 12th. Richard Seymour was the long weekend at the end of August. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
All these trades that he's pulled off over the years have happened late August, early September. The Patriots, according to sources, were looking for a first-round pick in the April trade talks. Well, that feels pretty strong. That feels like a strong report. They were searching for a first-round pick. This was probably according to other teams who have spilled the beans on that.
How wouldn't you search for a first-round pick if you're potentially going to trade this guy? This isn't a second-rounder. This isn't a fourth-rounder. You know, this is like a Richard Seymour. He got two ones for Seymour.
He writes,
this guy's a better player than Seymour.
The Texans are off the list. The Texans are off the list of possible destinations.
You're going to face him again.
Right?
They
don't want anything to do with that.
You know who is absolutely giddy and in love with Rob Gronkowski?
49ers, Rams, and Lions lead the pack as landing spots for Gronk.
I watched a lot of stuff when Billy O'Brien was around. Billy O'Brien is in love with the tight end.
Well, we know how Bill likes to trade, too. Right, he likes to call his chosen team, like he did with Garoppolo, and say, give me this. Like you've been chosen.
And on Linda Holiday's social media, who was in Nantucket with Belichick this weekend?
I don't know. Who was it? I did not see this.
Mm. Matt Patricia.
Matt?
The Patricia family, yes.
The Patricia family.
Well, they're tight.
Yeah. Matt Patricia and Bill Belichick vacationing together down on the island, where Belichick, I hear, owns like an entire street now. He bought the whole street.
He's got a little compound going on.
He's got the whole street, I heard. Pioli's he bought there. Up all the houses on the street. Someone else can confirm that. Pioli, we'll ask Felger. Felger will know.
Pioli is there along with Casario.
Sure,
Casario has a residence there, as does Scott Pioli. I don't want that same.
Our Nantucket, our in-house Nantucket guys.
Yeah.
Felger and Rich. Yeah. Those are our Nantucket guys.
All of a sudden, Rich is a Nantucketer, huh?
Well, he doesn't like to admit it, I find.
What do you think they think
I feel
of Rich?
Like he's
when
very
Rich
shy
shows up
about
with his
it.
Jorts and his like corn t-shirt and his black hat.
Can't hide money, bro.
Can't
do it.
You guys saw some Burt Breer pictures too.
Burt's always made. Are you kidding me?
It's amazing.
That place was made for Burt Breer.
It's amazing.
Was there a wacky water fight that went down on Nantucket over the 4th?
It's just the kids, but somehow, I guess Felger finds himself in the midst of this with all the kids. It's a tradition every year with the kids.
It's an organized water balloon fight.
It's water balloon. Oh. It takes place down on Main Street.
Oh. Yeah.
Everybody brings their water balloons in their baskets.
And on the eighth day.
Little Nantucket baskets.
And on the eighth day, God said, there be a vacation spot for Burt Breer. and he made Nantucket. and the pink shorts. I think that was all designed with Burt in mind.
Yeah,
the water fight. Felger squirted Rich with a squirt gun.
Oh,
that's the tweet.
Hijinks.
Got him. Showed him. That'd be fun, though. Nice hot day like that down there. Just get squirted. Squirt me in the face. Never mind. God dang it.
Thank you. First fake promo of the week.
There you go, Jim. You go.
Oh, no, we have like five so far.
Put it in the bag.
Oh, you're real funny.
Who says not all you, though.
Who says they're all you?
Oh, good.
Yeah, who says they're all you?
Oh, he's hard.
Chris is in the car. Chris, what do you got?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, how you doing, Chris?
Got a question. With Edelman, when somebody's coming back from an injury, why can't they use steroids to get better, to get to a certain spot?
They're illegal.
Society doesn't like it in general.
It's illegal.
It's, I'm with you, Chris. I'm all for PEDs.
It's proper medicine, when, especially during recovery. Steroids, human growth hormone, all of it.
I totally
you should
agree.
Be allowed. When you're coming back from it. Yes, we talked about it. We talk about it every year, every time this happens.
My dog got a hot spot this past week, and they shave it down. You know what they did? They inject him with steroids, and they give him steroid pills. He runs around the room like a nut now. So he puts his head in the corner and stares at himself in the mirror now.
Those are gross when dogs get those, by the way.
Oh, my
God.
Awful.
It'd feel terrible.
Tell you what, if he doesn't have that steroid, though, oof.
Well,
he sold his dog.
Anti-inflammatory.
He sold
no,
your dog?
I didn't sell it. I gave
Who
it back.
Who does that?
I hated that dog. That dog hated us. Hated everybody. I got a list of people that
what
he went
get
after.
For getting a stray.
It wasn't a he was feral. There's a difference.
Yeah.
There's a difference between
he wasn't used to human contact.
Yeah, that's right.
A little bit of an issue. Small issue.
Didn't care for the indoors or the cold or
hey,
people.
Coming up this Saturday. The 98.5 The Sports Hub American Red Cross Blood Drive is happening this Saturday, July 14th. And right now, there is an emergency blood shortage. The Red Cross has issued an urgent call for blood donors. This was just issued today, actually. Eligible donors, there's a call, urgent call for you to give blood, especially type O, very important right now. So give now and help save lives this Saturday with the Sports Hub American Red Cross Blood Drive. Saturday, 10 a.m. to 3:30 p.m., Best Western in Woburn. The first 80 donors will get a coupon for a free appetizer at C. O'Connor's, which is right there at the Best Western. Walk-ins welcome. You can schedule an appointment at redcrossblood.org. The Sports Hub American Red Cross Blood Drive, Saturday, 10 to 3:30, Best Western in Woburn. Please come out. Please donate blood. Very important right now in these summer months. Hardy has our headlines. Get you caught up on things. We're back in 90 seconds. We can, of course, keep talking about this Gronkowski story. He may still be available for a trade. He may not be, but interesting nonetheless. And also, Robert Williams and Marcus Smart, the latest on the Celtics, coming up in this 1 o'clock hour.